Father, thank you. Thank you that you are our safe covering. And when you cover us, dear God, we are indeed protected.
Amen.
Under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we continue, and we never want to be removed. Thank you, Father, for what you have been able to do with us, even during the past week. And we look forward to this new week. We anticipate great blessings. Lord, do your work. May we not be hindrances, but helps. And now speak to us through your infallible word in Christ's name, we pray. I am glad, my beloved friends, for the opportunity not only to be here, but to be a part of your outreach ministry. It certainly has challenged my soul. And this morning, I was very moved by the Spirit of God in my dreams. It is not usual for me to mention dreams, but I do believe that the Spirit of God is signaling to me that He's going to do something in this ministry here. I believe it with all of my heart. I think you are on the verge of a revival. And I'd like to challenge you, dearly beloved friends, every one of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to get involved. The prophet asks the question, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And the prophet said, "O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known." When I read the book of Acts, I'm altogether thrilled with the activities of God's servants as they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And they went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, accomplishing great things for God. After the Lord Jesus Christ died, they became dormant. But then, when he was resurrected, and they actually were eyewitnesses to his resurrection and his ascension, all trouble broke loose for him. And they took up the action. As the Spirit of God lets us know where it began. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power as the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost as a mighty rushing wind, attesting to the fact that God had raised up that which he promised through the prophets. He had brought it to pass, the beginning of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the advent of the Holy Spirit. And those precious souls went forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, as was truly said, in envy and the venom of the devil, they indeed turned the world upside down. Dearly beloved friends, may I say to you this morning, God Almighty would like us to continue in such a trend. I cannot help but admire Martyrs Presbyterian Church, your ministry here. There is much power in this ministry. Perhaps from face value, it doesn't seem so. But I certainly do know that the power of God is here. As we went through the city, of Belfast during those times of open air service. My beloved friends, that has done so greatly for me. Your approach to evangelism is nothing short of New Testament in that respect. The servants of God, they went where the action was, and they preached the gospel. Now, I do know that all of you are not able to go because of, no doubt, your physical limitation, but you can pray. Yesterday, we thought we would bring our services for the week to an end by going back to the same place. That's the city hall, is it, brother? But when we got there, the old enemy made sure that we would not appear there. And so, our brother sadly concluded, as he spoke with the officers, that we would have to leave. As they told him, there was going to be some sort of motorcycle rally or something of the sort. And so many motorcycles were there, we realized that we could not have the service. And so we thought we would leave. There is a young brother in this church that really challenged me. Brother Andre, I must call his name. Because when we thought all was lost, Brother Andre said to us that there is another place to which we could go and have that service. And we went there. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was preached once again in the city of Belfast. One thing I want you to notice here with the church in the book of Acts, after the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, is that they were emboldened to witness. It is not the ordinary Christian that goes into such places and witness, but it is the Christian or the Christians who are emboldened by the Holy Spirit of God. And in Acts chapter 4, if you turn there with me, please, you will notice it says in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, for they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." This ministry is a successful ministry because of its boldness and the boldness of this man that has passed on to the congregation and has empowered you to go and get the gospel out, not only in open ear, but in witnessing. It is something you have been consistently doing. You have been bold. Unlike so many churches that are substituting false fire for the power of God, you get the gospel out. You actually go. And not only are you bold, there's another thing I admire about you, for which I believe revival is on the verge of taking place. And God wants you to be a part of it. Amen. Is that you are a praying church. I come now to realize, since I have been here for a while longer, that the empty pews do not necessarily tell exactly what is taking place in this ministry. There is a group of people in this ministry who seemingly live to pray. And if they cannot pray, they will not live. And I thank God that as prayers are being sent, it stirs in us that desire to see revival. As we see here in the book of Acts, that the success of the ministries as the apostles spread themselves out was not only that they were empowered and charged by the Holy Spirit, but they were men of prayer. Amen. Look at these two men, we are told in Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John, verse 1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if you please. That is prime time. Prime time. They went to pray because to them prayer was so important and required the best of their time, and they would miss nothing. So they went and they gathered themselves together to pray. When we meet to pray, and we pray, we magnetize the power of God. We draw it down upon us. And things will happen. You see, as a result of their faithfulness in prayer, and how they were consistent, as a result, a man who was lame from birth was healed. The power of prayer. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you are going to experience the revival that God obviously is signaling to this church, may I say to you, intensify your praying. Let everybody pray. Yesterday, as I observed with our brother, Brother Gilmore, so many people were going off to that soccer game. And I remarked to him, what if all those people were walking and attending church or going to church? What a difference! It is not going to happen unless God's people pay the price. We have to do what God requires us to do if men are going to come into our congregations and get saved. We first of all must seek to experience in our souls a revival. The price must be paid. The boldness must be experienced. The prayers must be made. The prophet says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. If you are willing, my beloved friends, to meet the requirements of revival, revival will be ushered into this ministry. The price must be paid. I am asking you a question. Are you willing? There must be confession made. The prophet says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. Confession is a vital necessity as it precedes revival. And then there's something else that needs to be done in our ministry if we're going to experience revival. Proper reconciliation. Because sometimes in congregations there is friction among believers and schism or spiritual feuds, problems, division. And people tend not to speak to one another as they should. And when such is the case, revival cannot come. This morning, the Spirit of God awoke me twice. I know the time has come, brother. Let me finish up here. Listen, the Spirit of God awoke me twice. I've been wounded about a year and a half ago. Really wounded by several people in the ministry where I pastored. And oh, it has been a difficult thing with me emotionally when I think of what transpired then. And I couldn't get myself to the place where I wanted to forgive, although I seem to think that I have forgiven. But deep down in my soul, I said to myself, from them an apology would be in order, because I believe that I have been wronged. And while I was there, in the early hours of the morning, twice, the Spirit of God that brought the congregation to me and the people that have offended me. And God individually pointed each one out to me and he said, you must forgive this one. You must forgive them. Every one of them. And this morning I am here to tell you from the depths of my heart, inasmuch as I might not have been in the wrong in all cases, because of course some wrong must have been done by me. What wrong they have done for me, as of today, they have done to me, I have forgiven them from divine viewpoint. We want revival. We must forgive those who have offended us of our brethren. Our revival is in order for this ministry. I believe it's going to take place, but it is of necessity that these principles be observed. Reconciliation, confession, restitution. Zacchaeus, he said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Listen, restitution doesn't necessarily have to be made only when something is taken by falsely, but restitution may be made in other ways. And the Spirit of God will tell you what ways you ought to make restitution. And when we meet these divine principles, I believe, as I said, a revival is imminent in this ministry. But the principles need to be met. When we meet these principles, and we are revived here, the ministry is revived, then the powers of revival will flow outward and engulf the sinner. And oh, my beloved friends, what a place Northern Ireland will have become, even spread into Southern Ireland. Amen. Through the British Empire, bringing men to God. Listen, it can be done. Amen. It ought to be done. It must be done. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and forgive their sin, and heal their land. You are doing a good job. Press on, my friends. God is dependent upon you. Let the powers of revival shake this ministry, and it will shake this nation. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, what a scene we anticipate. Lord, what an experience we look forward to. First in our souls, it was so with your servants when they started out. We are told they had all things common. They were in one accord. And my beloved God, you were well pleased as they met the divine criteria. And you were able to work in them because they were ready. Now ready your people here. And we will not forget if there is anyone among us who is not ready, who is not ready in preparation of his soul to meet his God. Oh, how we pray today that such a soul will repent and find Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ as we have done, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In your name we pray. Amen.